Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? Good. Oh, well, for the, I don't know, maybe one of you that doesn't know, Pastor Michael is preaching at a camp this morning. And so while he glorifies God over there, we're going to glorify God here. I get to talk this morning about, and I get to teach about one of my absolute favorite things to teach about, and that is the gospel of the kingdom of God. And I love to talk about this because even though it's all throughout the New Testament, it's really one of the only things that Jesus actually outright preached on. Three quarters of his parables are specifically about the kingdom of God, and it doesn't get talked about a whole lot in North America, and so it's just one of my favorite things to talk about. And for those of you who have your Bibles or your Bible app or whatever it is you use, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 4. Verses 23 through 25. And this is what it says. Actually, first of all, I'm just going to give a little bit of context for this first. So what has happened is John the Baptist has died. And about halfway through chapter 4, Jesus is led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. He comes out of the wilderness. He finds out that John the Baptist has been killed by King Herod. And it says that's when Jesus started to preach the gospel, or my version says the good news of the kingdom. And he started preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And in verse 23, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them all. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So Jesus, basically what's happening is Jesus is going from synagogue to synagogue. In our culture, he would be going from church to church, and he started preaching that he was the Messiah. And he started preaching the kingdom of heaven. He started preaching the kingdom of heaven has come near. And as a little bit of context to what Jesus is preaching, ancient religions, one of the religions, the Vikings, for example, and also the ancient Hebrews, they had one belief that was similar. And that was there's a thing called thin places. And what the Hebrews believed about thin places is, in North America, we believe that heaven is kind of over here and earth is over here. So it's kind of this idea that we have the earth and then like millions of miles away is God and heaven. And what the ancient Hebrews believed, they believed half of this, sort of. They believed that there was a separation between heaven and earth. But what I found in my research, there was a thing that they referred to, and the Vikings had a similar belief, and that was in the belief of there are thin places. And what that means is there are certain areas where the two realms, they kind of connect like this. And we see this in the Old Testament with Jacob. When Jacob was after he stole the birthright from his brother, he ran for his life because his brother was going to kill him. And he came to a place and he fell asleep with his head on a rock, and he had a dream about a staircase or a ladder that goes up to heaven. And he has this dream. He sees angels going up the ladder to heaven, and he sees angels coming down. And at the very top of the ladder, he sees God, and God speaks to Jacob. And Jacob wakes up, and Jacob names that area Bethel. And the word Bethel means God's house. And so he had found this thin space where, because this is more than just like, this is more than just a dream, because he was so convinced that this is where God actually lives. And so he found a space where kind of the divided line between earth and where God lives is very thin. And so he kind of bridged the gap while he was sleeping. Another thin place that the Old Testament Israelites experienced was the temple in Jerusalem. It's interesting because something that would happen when the Jewish people, because God told, he ordered them in the law that the temple in Jerusalem was the only place there could be a temple, for one, which is why Jewish people have never had a temple anywhere but Jerusalem, because God said, this is the space where my house will be. And then he says, you are only allowed to do sacrifices to me in this place. And something strange would happen when people would go to the temple and they would give sacrifices and they would sing psalms that King David wrote down, and they would worship him in this place. And something strange would happen where when the Israelites did the Torah and they sang praises to God, there was this, they would feel God was actually living in the temple. And the way they would describe God's presence was, it was like a cloud would come from the Ark of the Covenant that was in the Holy of Holies. And his presence would come from the Holy of Holies, and it would fill the temple, and people would feel that God is at the temple. But when they would go home, they wouldn't feel that presence when they went home, because they believed the temple was one of these thin spaces where the kingdom of where God is, where heaven literally intersects with earth, and there's something special about this place. And Jesus goes around and he taps into this language, because people understand, like when we go to the temple, we get closer to God and we get closer to his kingdom and to him reigning in our lives. Because it was very similar to people coming to church. You know, people, when they had a disease or if they had a need, they would go to the temple because that's where God is. And the priests would pray for them and they would do their ceremonies. And quite often, that's where a lot of miracles would take place for the Jewish people, was at the temple surrounding with sacrifices and Torah and that sort of thing. And so Jesus taps into this, and Jesus starts preaching. Actually, what he's preaching is, he would refer to him quite often as being a king, the king or the son of God. And he would use this language of thin spaces, and he would actually preach, the kingdom of God is at hand. What he was actually preaching was, I came from heaven, and I have made the entire earth a thin space, where Jesus was actually teaching that the kingdom of God, like it wasn't a metaphor, but what he was saying was the veil between heaven and earth is so thin now because I brought heaven with me. And so Jesus would teach that the kingdom of heaven has come, and then what he would do was he would actually demonstrate it, because if there's no sickness in heaven under the reign of God, the idea was if Jesus has authority over sickness, there's no sickness in heaven. So he would go around healing people and he would start demonstrating that actually what I'm saying is actually true. The entire earth has actually become a temple. And so the entire earth has become a temple. So you can be close to God outside of the temple in Jerusalem now. And so it was very much this idea that God is not millions of miles away anymore. I brought him with me. And that became even more prevalent when Jesus was actually crucified and the veil in the Holy of Holies in the temple was actually ripped in two, which was God actually signifying what Jesus was preaching for 3 years is actually true. The division between man and God has been completely taken away. I think sometimes in my past, this issue has been a little controversial, but I don't think it needs to be. I think that sometimes, I know in my past, we as Christians, what we do sometimes is we confuse our mission with our destiny. Because most people that I meet think that our mission is to go to heaven. You know, like that's what the gospel is. You know, the gospel of Jesus is there's a place called hell. And once you get saved, when you die, that means you go to heaven instead of going to hell. And that's partially true. Our destiny is to go to heaven, but our mission is to bring heaven to earth. And a lot of people, and I think a lot of people, we get mixed up our destiny in our mission. And that tends to be kind of like where we get into trouble, because when I was young and I would read these verses, because Jesus, this is really the only thing Jesus actually preaches. Every time in the Gospels where the word gospel or the phrase good news is mentioned, the phrase kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven follows every single time. And there are verses where Jesus talks about the afterlife. But this is not one of those verses. Jesus is not actually talking about the afterlife. Jesus is actually because Jesus says the kingdom of God has come, but he doesn't tell people when you die, your cancer will go away, or when you die, you won't have to worry about being possessed by a demon anymore. He actually goes, he says the kingdom of God has come. And then he actually goes and he demonstrates it and he heals people and he proves to them that heaven is actually a lot closer than you think. And Jesus goes into even more detail in the third chapter of John. So the next verse I'm going to read from is going to be the Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. But kind of before we get there, I just want to share this story. A few years ago, Danielle and her parents received word that her grandfather, who had it was a pretty serious case of dementia. He was starting to forget who his wife was. And he was starting to forget who his children, his grandchildren were. And he was in the hospital, and it was very serious. And they actually received a call that he's probably not going to last the week. And so if you're going to say your goodbyes, you should probably bring the family in and say goodbye. And so we made the very emotional trip into Saskatchewan to... It was about an 8-hour trip to say goodbye to Danielle's grandfather. And we got there, and he reminded me of my grandfather right before he died. His skin was very thin. When you hugged him, you could kind of feel the bones when you hugged him, and it was a very sensitive time. And what we did is we went in and we decided, I can't remember who decided to do it, but we decided that he was an old church guy. You know, he'd gone to church most of his life, and he grew up hearing psalms, or hymns, not psalms, hymns. And what we did is we just started singing, because Grandma was there, and so we asked Grandma what are some of his favorite hymns that he liked to sing in church. And so she told us, you know, Amazing Grace, how great thou art, that sort of thing. And so we started singing hymns that he enjoyed singing when he was in church, when he was healthy. And he started smiling as we were singing the hymn. So he was making a connection through the songs, and he understood what we were singing about. And afterwards, me and Danielle, we just started praying the kingdom over this man. And we just started praying for him. We just prayed the kingdom of God over his body, and we prayed the kingdom of God into his body. And a pretty miraculous thing happened is he actually looked at his wife, who most of the time he didn't even recognize her face. He looked up at his wife and he told her that he loved her. And after that, we ended up leaving, and he ended up getting out of the hospital, and he spent about another 8 or 9 months outside of the hospital before he would pass away the next year. But it was really interesting because we actually saw a man who was struggling with it's a disease of the brain. And also diabetes. And we saw a man for the next probably 6 months, he started to get some of his mind back, and he was able to know who his wife was, and he was able to say a kind of healthy goodbye when his time would finally come about 8 or 9 months later. And so it was actually pretty amazing to see a man in the state that he was in to get his dignity back before he was able to leave. And so that was actually pretty incredible. I didn't expect really much to happen, but it was amazing how even in that way the kingdom was able to impact this man, and he was able to get a lot of what he had lost back. And it was pretty amazing. So we're going to go to John is he's known as one of the more mystical apostles. He wrote the book of Revelation. He's the only apostle that actually uses the term Antichrist. As a side note, I was floored by this. I had heard somebody tell me once that the term Antichrist doesn't actually appear in the book of Revelation. And I was I had to prove them wrong. And so I went through the entire book, and actually it only appears in the first and second John. And it doesn't appear in the book of Revelation at all. And so it's just kind of, it really, these things, they just gave me a reason to study more and realize that maybe some things that I understood the Bible to be, maybe I need to re-examine some of my own theology, because obviously I don't have everything right, and we almost never do. But so yeah, we're going to go to John chapter 3. And it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night, and he said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again from above.' 'How can a man be born when he is old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot see where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.'" So Jesus gives a very interesting teaching on the kingdom. And again, this particular mention of the kingdom of God, Jesus is not talking about the afterlife. He's talking about what is happening right here, right now. Jesus says something very interesting. He says, you have to be able to see the kingdom of God before you can enter it. And he gives this illustration and he says, I tell you the truth, unless you were born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And when it comes to entering the kingdom of God, he uses a baptism term, which I find really interesting. Because he says, in order to enter, you must be born both of water and the Spirit. And so to me, what this says is we need to examine what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because in essence, what Jesus is saying is the kingdom of God is living in the Holy Spirit. Because what the kingdom is the king's domain, is the domain of where the king rules. And so the idea is when you step in under the rulership of God, reality kind of changes. Because really the reason why a lot of bad things happen, the reason why people get cancer, the reason why people get dementia is because they're under a realm where God is not getting what he wants. Because God does not want people to get sick and die. That is just the truth. That is not what God wants. That is not God's will for people to get sick, experience pain and suffering, and die. But what Jesus is saying, what is happening, is God's rule, God's kingdom, is now on the earth. And what we're doing is we're building it and we're making it bigger. That's why when people come to God and they put faith in him, the things of the world tend to dissipate and the things of God tend to get stronger. And for me, this is what really being, when we think of baptism, and especially when we think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what it's really saying is we need to be immersed, fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. Paul puts it this way. In the book of Romans, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is what the kingdom is. And so the truth that we pull from this is if we're not experiencing righteousness, we're not experiencing peace in our lives, and we're not experiencing joy in our lives, we are not really in the kingdom. Because when we're in the kingdom, that's where the peace that surpasses understanding comes from. That's where our power comes from, is because I think Christians need to understand that we are one of the safest people in Canada, because right now in Canada, people are wondering if they're going to lose their house next week. They're wondering what school their children are going to go to next week. But Christians, we live under this such an authority that we're the only people that actually have promises that God actually promises, if you seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, God is going to take care of us. And so Jesus gives this teaching to a Pharisee, and Jesus kind of he goes a little bit deeper, because Jesus starts out by saying the kingdom of God, the whole earth has become a thin space. You don't have to go to the temple to find God. You can find God literally anywhere. That's why all over the country today, we have churches that are built all over different cities, all over different countries, and everybody is able to come into a church that is not in Jerusalem in Israel, and we're able to have an actual encounter with God. And so really just Jesus is teaching this idea that God is not millions of miles away anymore. What Jesus has done through the cross is he's made it very real that actually even heaven itself isn't millions of miles away anymore. The spirit realm actually coexists with earth. The difference is our job is to build the kingdom. Our job is not to build the church. Jesus says, I will build my church. But what God is looking for is he's looking for somebody to partner with, to come together so that we can build this kingdom of God on earth until we get to a place where literally Jesus, the prophet Jeremiah gives this prophecy and he says, I look forward to the day when I make a new covenant with my people, and people will no longer say to his neighbor, you need to know the Lord, because everybody will know me. And so even God, he's tired of his children suffering and dying. And he's looking for people to partner with him to say, bring my children to me. Let us bring heaven to earth so that let's get the world ready, first of all, for the second coming. So that when Jesus comes, what we do know, what will happen, is at the end of the book of Revelation, it gives this beautiful picture of the New Jerusalem coming down to the earth. And it is a literal mixture of heaven and earth. And Jesus says from there, after the New Jerusalem comes down, after the second coming onto the earth, there will be no more sickness ever. There'll be no more disease ever. There'll be no more crying because there will be no pain. And so the idea is Jesus started building the kingdom. He got his apostles so that after Jesus conquered death and the grave, and he goes up to be our intercessor in heaven. And then the apostles start preaching the same message, because all through the epistles, Paul talks about the kingdom of God. Peter talks about the kingdom of God. And this really is the good news, is that we are able to be free now, and we're able to build with God. And so that when Jesus does come at the end, it will fully come and there will be no death, no disease, no pain. And the way, I'll also say this. The Pharisee, Nicodemus, he's talking to Jesus, and Nicodemus says, usually what we all say, Nicodemus says, how can these things be? And Jesus says something interesting. Jesus says, if I talk to you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe when I talk to you about heavenly things? So it's interesting that when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's considering this an earthly thing. This isn't even, for Jesus, this isn't even a weird supernatural heavenly thing that he's talking about. This is a earthly thing. And he says, if I actually tell you about the afterlife and actually tell you about this, what goes on in heaven, in the spirit realm, if you can't comprehend this, how are you going to comprehend when I actually talk about heavenly things? And another interesting thing that Jesus says is, I'll read the verse to you. Jesus says, I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man, who is currently standing in heaven. Jesus is actually, now Jesus is standing on earth in front of the religious teacher, and Jesus says, no one has ever ascended into heaven except for the Son of Man who came down from heaven. And Jesus says the Son of Man is currently standing in heaven. So what Jesus was just cementing this idea, heaven is actually at hand. You can literally, you can reach out and touch it. The difference is it always comes back to faith. And so it comes back to this idea that are we actually going to put our faith in the things of God, or are we going to choose not to put our faith in the things of God? And so I'm just going to end just by saying this. Just know that there is no separation between us and God. And God is, we can literally feel him. The earth has become a thin space. Heaven is not as far away as we would like to think it is sometimes. And the presence and the glory of God, the things that he has for us, is not a matter of, he's not like the pagan gods, where with the pagan gods, you need to suffer a little bit to be able to taste of the good things of their faith. Whereas we serve a God who is not interested in human suffering. In fact, he's interested in the opposite. He wants his children to be free. When Jesus was in Nazareth, he got up to read a scroll from Isaiah, and Jesus said that he came to set the captives free. That is the whole point. God is not interested in our guilt. He's not interested in our shame. He's interested in relationship. He wants us to seek him, and he wants us to know him. He's really, at the end of the day, he is not interested in how religious we are. We can do all the right things on paper and not know who God is. God is interested in the relationship aspect of his children. He wants his children. First of all, the problem is he has kids that are dying on the streets when the kingdom is fully available, but people just don't know, because some people really believe it must be God's will for me to suffer. When Jesus makes it so clear, he says, God loved the world that he gave his only son. Nowhere in scripture does it ever say that God hates the world. In fact, John 3:16 says God loved the cosmos. God loved the world. God loved everything in the world. And he sent the Son to redeem it, to redeem creation, and to save us, and to give us everlasting life. And that is the whole purpose. And so I come against this idea that God is mad, God is rageful, and he needs me to suffer. That's kind of the whole point to the cross, was he's done with suffering, was he needs to put an end to suffering. And so as I end, I'm just going to say a quick prayer. I'm going to get you to come back up again. And we're going to end on a happy note. Just this idea that the earth has become a thin space. The kingdom of heaven is not billions of miles away, but he's close because God wants to be close. God doesn't live somewhere else and occasionally visit. God is always here. God is always listening, and he's always longing to set his children free. So God, I just pray, God, that this revelation of the kingdom of God would just really impact us in a new way, God. God, this idea that you actually like us, you actually enjoy us, and you actually want us. God, you actually want us, and you love us, and you are more than willing to set us free from anything that causes suffering or slavery in any kind of way, God. And so, Lord, I just pray, God, that you would just show us as we sing these next couple songs, or this next song, just how much you absolutely adore your children. And I just thank you, God, for just being you and just being accepting. And God, we love you. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.